May it please the court, counsel. I'm Joy Schiffer-Miller. I'm here on behalf of Mamisa Evans, who is the adoptive mother of Olga M. In the allegations in the petition filed by the state, she is the custodian of Olga M. She is present for this morning's oral argument and sitting in the back of the courtroom. The evidence, first of all, in this case, before we get to the evidence in this case, this is one of the strangest juvenile court cases I've ever had the pleasure of being involved in. The state's petition basically alleged that Olga M. was in a situation dangerous to herself or her her well-being or morals, and then they alleged a series of unknowns, that they didn't really know who Olga M.'s mother was. They didn't know for what purpose she was sent to or traveled to South Africa. They didn't know who her parents were. They didn't know how she got back. Well, they knew how she got back, but and then it alleges that she suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder and that the situation places the child at risk of harm and that all these things happen in Lancaster County, Nebraska. The first assignment of error that we have in this case is whether or not the state's petition filed in this case, which was the amended petition, even states a cause of action for a juvenile court petition. Now, obviously, if you allege that a child is in a situation dangerous to life or limb or injurious to her health or morals, that's the statutory language that you allege for a petition. That's one way of bringing a case under 247 subsection 3A. But when you get to the factual allegations that are accompanied, as I said, it's a series of unknowns. And so first of all, I believe that the motion to dismiss should have been sustained in this case. Then we get down to trial of this case. The evidence was presented over four or five days that we had for trial of this case. And as Ms. Evans' counsel, I asked the court to make specific findings of fact and conclusions of law, which we are permitted to do under civil statutes. The court in this case did go ahead and make findings, but he specifically found that the issue of why Olga M. was sent to South Africa, with whom she stayed while she was there, what efforts were made by Ms. Evans to achieve her return to the United States, and what happened to her while she was there, were not necessary for the court to take jurisdiction of this case. I submit to you that that's incorrect. The evidence at this case showed that Ms. Evans brought Olga, or arranged for her transport to the United States in the year of 2005. Ms. Evans is a permanent resident alien. She was a resident of the Congo before she herself immigrated to the United States, and Olga was a permanent or was issued a green card, was brought over here. Ms. Evans registered her for school. She took care of her medical treatment. The evidence at trial is uncontradicted that she was adopted, that she adopted Olga in a tribal ceremony. Ms. Evans testified, we don't do adoptions legally in the court in the Congo, and it's uncontroverted that she acted as her mother the whole time up until basically the time that temporary custody was taken from her by the state in this case.
If you take the trip to Africa out of the equation here, was there any evidence that anything that your client did harmful in any way to Olga?
I submit that there is not any evidence that anything that my client did was harmful in any way to Olga, at least before trial. Then after we were engaged in the trial, they make a point of saying that during a therapeutic session that Ms. Evans confronted Olga about what her lies were, about what had occurred in South Africa, and the state does make a point of saying that she should not have confronted her in that manner, but I submit even that would not rise to the level to bring a juvenile court adjudication in this case.
Now, what about putting a minor on an airplane with inadequate documentation and sending her off? Is that a child that's in need of special supervision?
Well,
I mean,
first of all, there's no evidence that, or the court did not find that that is what occurred. He found that he didn't have to find what occurred in South Africa. Miss Evans' testimony was she obviously had a green card when she left the United States into this. She had provided her all of those documents necessary for travel, and she would have had to have had them to enter the country when she got to South Africa. And the mere fact of putting someone on a plane, I mean, children fly without parents fairly often. Olga was 16 years old and had made the trip.
You make sure they have a passport.
And she did have. Yes, and I believe she did have, or there's no way. I mean, this is a de novo review. Miss Evans provided her all those documents. Apparently, what happened...
Which documents do you claim that were provided to the juvenile?
Well, Miss Evans testified she provided her a green card and the transport document. It was not a passport, but it was a specific...
She had a green card, right?
What she denied is that she had a green card. That's true. So there's a dispute as to fact.
Back into the U.S.
Well, I believe the green card was necessary for her to have evidence to travel and get on the plane from the U.S.
Did she need to have a green card to go to the Congo?
That's what Ms. Evans testified, that she had to have all of that proper paperwork to go to.
Ms. Evans saying that? Was there any other evidence that she couldn't get on this airplane with that document she had, whatever you want to call it?
There was Ms. Evans' testimony on that regard and Olga's testimony on that regard.
So the best thing she had, the best thing that juvenile had was this laissez-passer that lets her go to the
Correct.
Congo.
And it's not to the Congo, it was to South Africa. They traveled to South Africa.
So what is her best document to return? Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, apparently, after she arrived in South Africa, something happened and she lost her green card. And Miss Evans testified that she called her and told her she'd lost her green card. And Miss Evans checked with the authorities to how she could get a duplicate green card and was told that since she was over the age of 14, she had to apply for that green card, and she told her where to go to get the green card. I see I'm running into my 2 minutes, and I also wanted to address specifically, there's not sufficient evidence in the record to support a post-traumatic stress disorder criteria. The criteria for post-traumatic stress is totally absent, and we've addressed that in our brief.
If the review were to show that she did have a PTSD,
yes.
What does the record show about the appropriate or inappropriate handling of that by your client?
Totally absent. There's no evidence of any handling or what she was supposed to do at all, because she was apparently diagnosed with that when she returned from South Africa, and my client was not allowed to treat that condition, nor was she ever asked to. And then finally, I think that the Vienna Convention and Nebraska Revised Statutes were not handled with respect to these persons who are Congolese, and so I would also want to argue that. And I want to reserve my time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court, my name is Chris Turner. I'm a deputy Lancaster County attorney here in Lancaster County, and I do represent the appellee in this case, the state of Nebraska. We are respectfully asking that the court affirm the lower court's decision, both overruling the motion to dismiss as well as affirming the order of adjudication, finding that Olga was a child as defined by 247 sub 3A. To address the first argument of appellant regarding the motion to dismiss, I would concede that the amended petition that was later filed did include some additional information that was not necessary for the court to take jurisdiction. I think the court found that and essentially found that those allegations were not proven true as part of its order, and so didn't have to address that. And was still able to take jurisdiction, finding that Olga was in a situation that was injurious to her health as a result of the additional findings that the court did make. And in determining whether that amended petition did fail to state a claim, I think the petitioner is given essentially the benefit of the doubt. It's looked most favorably towards the allegations that are made, that if proven true, and that if those, as long as those proven true, do still provide you with the claim for relief, then the motion to dismiss should be overruled, and I believe that's what happened in this case.
What is the status of the appellant vis-a-vis this juvenile?
The actual relationship?
Yeah, the legal relationship between them.
Well, the legal relationship, I think the closest we could really come to is a custodial relationship. It was not a biological relationship, and that's something that I think that may be unclear until you get to the trial court record about how the case developed.
So when, if this is a custodial relationship, was there jurisdiction over the appellant?
I think that there is. I think that the custodial relationship does provide the appellant with some standing or jurisdiction over her, but the real question is the jurisdiction over the child and protecting the child given the situation that she's been thrust into.
And how old is the juvenile now, and where is the juvenile?
The juvenile at this time is 17 years old. She continues to reside in Lincoln in foster care with the original foster parent, Ms. Long, that essentially aided her in her efforts to return back to the United States.
Now that's Heidi?
Correct.
Okay. Is this working out? Does the record reflect that this is working out with her being with Heidi?
Yes. This has been a very supportive environment. Ms. Melissa Kenny, who was the therapist that provided both the individual therapy as well as the family therapy, continues to do so, is supportive of that.
Okay. If she's in high school?
Correct. She goes to Lincoln Southwest High School.
She will be 18 in January?
That's correct.
And after she turns 18, there can't be any adjudication, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So we send this back, what happens?
Well, I think if we send it back, we're still under the... I guess it would depend on what you're sending it back on.
So you then, what happens?
Well, I think to a certain extent it is. I think the facts have probably actually changed a little bit since this case was tried as far as the parentage is concerned.
Well, if we just let this alone... He's going to turn 18 in January. She's doing well now with Heidi. Why are we upsetting the apple cart?
Well, I think the question would be, until she's actually no longer a minor, until she turns 19, who's going to provide for the care for her? I think that the record would be that Ms. Long said she was willing to allow Olga to stay with her as long as she would like, but who's going to pay for the individual therapy? Who's going to ensure that she has, I guess, all the necessary resources that she should, and whether we should be burdening Ms. Long to do that.
But appellant's saying she's ready to step forward and do those things for the duration of the juvenile status.
Appellant did testify to that at the time of trial. I think the trial court record, though, also reflected that that was not an appropriate environment, and a large piece of that was between the time the original petition was filed and the amended petition filed in June of 2009, a lot of events happened, and I think the concern over the case shifted from just what happened in South Africa and Olga's efforts to return to the United States to really what's the relationship between appellant and Olga, and can Olga safely return to that environment where appellant refuses to acknowledge she has post-traumatic stress disorder, any need for medication to address that, or any need for any type of ongoing individual therapy.
Was there a finding that she suffered PTSD?
There was. The court made a finding that she did suffer from post-traumatic stress.
Was there a finding, or if no finding, was the evidence with respect to appellant's handling of that to the extent that she has contact?
I can't say that specifically it was addressed in the court's order, appellant's handling of that. But I think the record definitely would support that, given Ms. Kenny's testimony, as well as the individual therapy notes that were offered and received as exhibits as part of the trial.
Did the court's finding have anything to do with the trip to Africa?
No, the court didn't address that, but I found that it didn't need to.
But was there a reunification plan in the record?
Reunification has never began because disposition...
Because there wasn't a parent? Or?
Well, I can't say we've even gotten that far. Because the appeal was entered, we have not gotten to disposition yet, so...
Go ahead.
Appeal of adjudication.
Correct, Your Honor.
So what's, is it in the best interest of the child? What are we looking at?
The adjudication has definitely been in the best interest of this child. She's been able to remain in a supportive environment where she's been able to address this post-traumatic stress, and it's something that throughout the time and before trial, it was an ongoing she was having. So,
but we don't have a parent involved. Is that correct?
Well, I would say at the time this was submitted, we didn't have a parent identified. Okay. I'd say to the court, today as we stand here, we do have a biological parent identified.
And that's not Mrs. Evans?
That's not Ms. Evans.
Okay. So you have actually two strangers that want the foster care.
Are you referring to the biological parent that's been identified?
Right.
I would say even at this point, he hasn't stepped forward and said, I want to be a parent, but he's been identified as a biological parent.
Biological parents, there's no indication at all that they want to step in and do anything. Is there?
That's correct. At the time...
So it's between Mamisa and the state, Heidi, and Heidi is willing to continue...
I would say that's correct. The fight really was between Ms. Evans and the state, and the state's decision that Ms. Long provided the best care for her. To address the other claims put forward by appellant as to the Vienna Convention, I believe the record supports that the Vienna Convention was complied with, and that essentially requires state authorities to notify the consulate in cases such as this where we have a juvenile, we have a guardian of some sort appointed. Olga was born in the Republic of the Congo, and the record does indicate that on September 9th, 2010, the first notice was sent to the Republic of the Congo to their embassy in Washington, D.C. Then a second notice was sent on September 21st, 2010. Both those were sent by certified mail. They were both signed for by someone at the consulate or the embassy, so we know that they're received. And it's not until 2 months later that we have this final day of the adjudication trial, and thereafter the order is entered. And in that two-month time frame, we had no one from the consulate or the embassy step forward and try to enroll themselves or intervene in any way in the proceedings.
What's the evidence with respect to the child having a Congolese passport?
The evidence at trial concerning Olga's testimony was that since she came over in 2005, she'd never seen her passport, had always assumed that the appellant had kept that.
But she hadn't seen it since that day, or she'd never seen it? I'm sorry.
I can't say that. I don't recall whether or not she said she had never seen it, but she knew that since 2005, when she got to the United States, that's not something that she had ever seen. But she was told the summer leading up to this trip that appellant had somehow lost that passport document, and that she was then provided with a police report that appellant had made to the Lincoln Police Department saying, at some point in this four-year period, I lost my daughter's passport, made a police report, and she sent that with Olga, along with that laissez-faire document, with her on the plane. And that was it. And that's Olga's testimony. And she said that from the very beginning.
She said she had the passport when she left the United States for the Congo?
No. She had the laissez-faire passport, which was essentially a 30-day document for her that expired.
Issued by what entity?
That was issued by the Congolese.
It's in French, so it's probably the Congolese.
Yes, it was the Congolese government issued that.
Right. Okay. That
document. So that's how we know she would fall within the Vienna Convention, but that's not something that we did fully comply with that. Within 2 months of the adjudication, they had notice and didn't respond. I think also the appellant's claim that the state didn't require or didn't comply with the requirements of 43-3804. We attempted to do that in good faith. We did contact the consulate. There was attempts, which were now included as part of the supplemental transcript that was given to this court, to contact the identified biological parent who was living in South Africa, Ms. Detend, but those efforts were unsuccessful. But regardless, I don't think that divests the court of jurisdiction. I think this court's holding on that issue was in In Re Angelica L. in 2009 and made clear that that's not a jurisdictional prerequisite. There's not any additional questions. I would just ask that this court affirm the lower court's decision on both the motion to suppress as well as the order of adjudication. Thank you.
Is there any rebuttal time?
Yes, she's got
40 minutes. Thank you, Your Honors. Actually, this is not a fight between whether or not which stranger this child should be put with. My client is her adoptive mother. That's what the evidence is, and she was adopted through the Congolese processes. With respect to the statutes requiring notification of the consulate, our argument on appeal is not necessarily that they failed to not notify the consulate. They did fail to notify the consulate, but they also failed to give my client, the custodian, in her native language, notices that are required under that proceeding. And they didn't give the child the notification that they're required, and they didn't give the actual parent that they later identified, Sakil Charlotte,
assuming they did not violate the Vienna Convention, what's the result?
Well, I believe that this case should be dismissed because they have not complied with that. And the difference between this and Angelica L., in Angelica L., they had reversed the case, first of all, for a different reason, but they also noted that someone from the consulate had an attorney showed up and actually took action at trial. And in this case, when we're talking about cultural differences, whether or not an adoption is a legal proceeding in the Congo, the only evidence is my client's testimony that this is the way we adopt, through the tribal ceremonies. And they signed this document which gives my client the adoption, and my client had no problem arranging for medical treatment or care or schooling of, or even her green card to bring her over here. There's no reason to believe that she was not the legal parent of that child. And when you look at the courts...
Would that be the basis of jurisdiction over your client?
Would it be the basis? Well, that would be part of the basis of jurisdiction, but they have to acknowledge that she is the parent then. I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword. They said she was the custodian or parent, or I think they alleged custodian. And when you look at the conclusions of law that the judge found, he found that the document giving Ms. Evans powers over the child would have expired because he applied Nebraska law to the Congolese document and said that there was nobody available to arrange for medical treatment or care of the child. And that's clearly unsupported by the evidence. He did not make a finding in his findings or conclusions of law or findings of fact that my client did anything inappropriate. As Mr. Turner has said, that it wasn't in her best interest to return to my client. He didn't make that finding, and it's actually unsupported by any evidence and unsupported by the pleadings in the case. I believe the case ought to be dismissed because of the fact that the petition was deficient, the evidence was deficient, and there was not evidence that my client failed to take care of any special condition, thereby being like post-traumatic stress, but also the evidence is deficient that she even had post-traumatic stress. So we would ask that you reverse the matter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are adjourned.